Good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch, September 13th, 2018. And oh, it's been a hazy day here. Got a forest fire down in Kremlin, just outside of Kremlin, Colorado, and it is just putting off some smoke. Made a big run. The temperature went up, the humidity went down, and the wind increased, and it made a big run here just yesterday or day before, and jumped up to about 6,000 acres, I think. And so it's just covering us with smoke out here, just about half. We look back to the east and the south, and it's smoky, and north and the west, it's a beautiful sunset, beautiful colors. Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day here, and the sunset just going down. Got a scripture verse I want to start with tonight, and then we'll open in prayer and going to talk about the hurricane a little bit tonight. And it's Isaiah 25:4. See if I can flip over there. I'm in Isaiah tonight, but I wasn't right there. Yeah, I went the other way. Isaiah 25:4. Do have some comments out of Isaiah tonight. It says, "For you," and it means Lord Jesus, "have been a defense for the helpless, a defense for the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat, for the breath of the ruthless is like a rainstorm against a wall." A refuge from the storm. We need a refuge. Half this country, at least the eastern seaboard, needs a refuge, and that's who we look to for our refuge, and that's who we call out to. Well, join me in a word of prayer, and then we will open up the phone lines. And again, I've got a few things to comment about tonight. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb of God. And Father, thank you for a beautiful day here, Lord. Thank you for the lack of moisture we have here, and thank you for the overabundance of moisture that we see on the East Coast, Lord, coming into Carolinas just as we speak right now, Lord. We thank you for that. Father, we know that you are in the tempest and that you speak to your people in the storms. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the storms that come, Lord, that we know that they come to strengthen us. And so, Father, we pray that for this Hurricane Florence, that Lord, in your wrath, that you remember mercy as this storm comes upon land, Lord, with 100-mile-an-hour winds plus and feet of rain and storm surge. That, Lord, you remember your people. Father, remember that we are only dust. Heavenly Father, I do ask for all those that are yours, all those that call out to you, that know your name, that Father, you would be with them all in the Carolinas and Virginia, and Lord, it looks like rain all the way to Savannah and Atlanta, Georgia, Lord, and who knows what this storm's going to do, what kind of rain it's going to bring to the Middle Eastern states, Lord, as it moves inland. But Father, we look to you, our refuge in the storm. And so, Father, I lift up everyone of the remnant that are impacted by this, Lord. I know we have many there, Lord, even on our ministry. But Lord, I pray your protection to be upon them. I pray your peace. Father, your grace and your mercy to be upon them, to keep them safe from the storm, safe from the floodwaters, safe from looters, safe from maybe government wanting to help or not wanting to but causing problems. I pray, O Lord, your safety, and I speak Jesus into your remnant that are impacted into this storm, Lord, that are impacted by this storm. And I pray your grace and your mercy to be upon them. Father, give me the words to speak tonight, to glorify you, to encourage your people. And again, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to be here and the time that you give us. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for those that support us, that allow these broadcasts to go out, Lord, that allow the truth of your word to go out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. For Lord, it is only because of the saints that sponsor us here and their tithes and offerings and donations that allow this to happen. And I thank you for it, Lord. To the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, in that name I pray. Amen. And amen. And Remnant, I'll ask for a little forgiveness tonight. I had to have a couple molar teeth pulled this morning over in Cheyenne. They just had gone bad. One had broke about a third of it off, and one on the other side was just the filling had eroded out, and so I'm still talking a little funny here. So I'm not drinking beer or nothing. Got a bottle of water here, and that's about it. But just wanted to let you know. I appreciate the prayers. Men prayed for me last night, and I appreciate the prayers from the Remnant today as well. Well, Hurricane Florence, the latest. It's been downgraded to a Category 2. It's rolling on. I think the main bands are rolling on the shore just about now. The description they're using is that it's crawling towards the North Carolina border. I think they said it slowed down to a forward movement of about 5 miles an hour, and that makes it tough because there's so much rain that is involved in this. And when you look at a map, looked at some of the satellite maps, looked at one today from the actual space station, and the size of this storm, it's the size of half a dozen states put together. One report earlier today said it's bigger than North and South Carolina put together. When you look at it, not all on shore, but it's as big as six or seven states. They said there's about 10 million people in its path, over almost 2 million under mandatory evacuation, thousands of flights canceled. Duke Energy estimating 3 million homes and businesses to be without power. 3 million homes. Folks, think about just the economic impact of that. How about 3 million homes that all the food is going to go bad in the fridge and the freezer? How about that? Just that. And that just from a storm. Saw some of the pictures today. I guess maybe you did too. I think that's where a lot of the eyes of the people are today. You know, they're predicting storm surges 9 to 13 feet all along the South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia coastline. Rainfall up to 40 inches. That's over 3 feet of rain. And as this is so slow moving and rolling in, where's that rain going to go? And it has nowhere to flood out to. And the latest that I saw from this huge storm is they're talking days of this. Moving 5 miles an hour, easing on to shore, these massive wind and rain. Well, yeah, here was the quote from South Carolina EMA. It's larger than South Carolina and North Carolina combined. When you look at it, it's 10 times that. It's big as six or seven states there together. Of course, lots of curfews. Had one quote here, said the rising waters will be lapping at the first floor of our elevated homes. And that's just in the southern part of North Carolina, inland. Still not quite beachfront, but it is just looking at devastation. 13-foot storm surge. I did see this report, and I wanted to mention it. It said at a nearby Arthur Christian Church, and this is in North Carolina, I believe. Yeah, right along the North Carolina Pamlico River. They're bracing for the storm. They're getting ready. The town is mostly evacuated, but at the Arthur Christian Church, about 20 people were praying together as the storm barreled toward the Carolinas. And they even put, and this actually article was from NPR, so I'm really surprised that they did it. I'm sure, you know, this National Jewish Radio were intending to be sarcastic with this, but it says, "Gracious Heavenly Father God, just as with those in the flood zone, may the damage not be so much," they prayed. That sounds like it might have been a little bit of the Cajun dialect down there, but maybe not. But I thought it was interesting that they did report that there were people praying. And I don't think that I haven't seen a lot of those type of reports before, where when these storms, when they were rolling into Houston, and when these storms have rolled into Florida, you might see where the governor or someone says, "We need your prayers." And that's about it. Well, at the Arthur Christian Church, there were some people that were getting together and praying. There were some other good things that have come out of this already. Anheuser-Busch saw this, where they have sent already 300,000 cans of fresh water, staged them to be ready. They have a brewery in Cartersville, Georgia, and they've switched over to emergency rations for water, and they've been doing that, and they've got that ready. Of course, they helped out with Hurricane Harvey back last year, and then also their brewery out here in Fort Collins, they're ready to do this. They're ready to switch over if they need to, and they can switch over and provide water. And we don't see this, we don't read about this when these typhoons hit the Philippines, about this type of massive help. Saw this also, Home Depot handing out free plywood to residents in Hurricane Florence's path. The Home Depot in Wilmington, North Carolina was passing out 5 sheets of plywood free of charge to those in the path as they were getting ready. And there was no riots. There were no people cutting in line. Saw the video, said it, and you could just see the people lined up, and they were letting people go in and get 5 sheets at a time for the people that were staying. And this was from yesterday. The store was stated supposed to close at 10:30 a.m., but the employees at the Home Depot chose to stay and to help those, because they still had batteries, they still had this plywood to help out. And so, I just mentioned that. No, not a news report tonight, but I just mentioned that because even in this storm, there were some, I was pleased to see that there were these positives. People that maybe it was a little different. I've never heard of Home Depot passing out free plywood before. I know when we had a massive hurricane in South Florida years and years ago, probably, 25 years ago, my brother-in-law drove and still drives for Publix, large grocery store chain in the southeast. And after the hurricane came in and wiped out Homestead, Florida, devastated it, leveled the place, killed thousands that were not reported. There were mobile home parks that they were hit unawares. They weren't expecting it to hit there, and mobile home parks just gone. And they were full of retirees. They were just literally gone. But anyway, my brother-in-law drove for Publix, and Publix did a donation like that. There were people didn't have ice, didn't have water, didn't have electricity in the summer heat. And he would drive a 40-foot trailer full of water, park it in front of the grocery store, open the doors, and just drop it there. And it was full of water for people that needed it to come get it. He'd drive around back, get the empty, and go back to the warehouse. And so, and then make another trip, and make 3 or 4 trips of those per day. And this went on for weeks. And so I just mentioned this because we are still a nation of people that care. You know, they asked Jesus in trying to trick him, what were the 2 greatest commandments? And he replied back, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And when we do that, when we See, that's what we are to do. We talk a lot about that, try to anyway, because I get asked that, phone calls and letters of what are we to do? We have many people that think, well, if we need to lock and load and march on the White House, or lock and load and march on the EPA or BLM, or let's go, buddy, we're ready to go. But that's not what we read that we're to do. What we read that we're to do is to love our God. And he said, if you love me, what? Obey my commandments. Be a doer. Do what I've written for you to do. It's really not a complex issue. Really pretty simple, if you think about it. He tells us that we're to love righteousness and to hate lawlessness. And we see that many times in the world, certain parts of the media and Hollywood are just the opposite of that. They love lawlessness and they hate righteousness. And that's just how it is. And of course, when we do that, we're told we'll be hated by the world, because the world hated him as well. Now, you don't see a lot of that flaring up right now. Right now, when there's a crisis hitting the East Coast, a once-in-a-lifetime storm is how they're describing it. And it seems like people are all of a sudden getting along pretty good. And there's not a lot of rioting. There wasn't at that Home Depot for free plywood. No, the people were standing there. They knew that the people in front of them needed the plywood just like they did, and the people knew the people behind them needed the plywood. It was encouraging to me to see that. And that's what it reminded me of, is that we are to love righteousness, to love our neighbor as ourselves. To hate lawlessness, for sure. And that's, I think that's one thing that many people miss. Let's look over at Psalms 55, verse 8, while we're talking about this storm. I think that makes another reference. Psalms 55, if you have your Bibles, this is a good one, I think, if it's the one I'm thinking of, to have marked. 55, verse 8 says, I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and tempest. Oh, that we would do that. Oh, that we would do that and hasten to our place of refuge from the stormy wind and tempest. And you know, Christ is our refuge. The storms in life, they come. Sometimes they're physical storms like this. Even the Pentagon has, you know, President Trump, you can say what you want, but he's activated, got the Pentagon on top of things. So here the storm hasn't made landfall. Reports from the Pentagon that they have quite literally surrounded the areas in the where the forecast shows that this storm is going to hit. They've got 7,000 service members, including about 4,000 National Guard personnel, positioned around, ready, as soon as the storm rolls through, ready to roll in. Texted with our brother Josh down south. He's a lineman, a repair lineman, is what a lot of what they do. And texted him today, and he's packing his bag, getting ready. Because that's what they do. Yes, the companies might make money at it, but the men and the women, I guess, have working there too. But like our brother Josh, they're packing up to leave their families and to go down and to repair and to get utilities back on. I encourage you, keep our brother Josh and his family and the men and women he'll be working with, and the other line repairmen and first responders that'll be moving in after this to help. See, those people, you can't just do that just for the money. You have to have a desire, a love to help people. See, they are builders. They're not destroyers of civilization. They're builders. And they know that what they do is needed. And they do that. Why do they do that? Well, that law of God of loving your neighbor as yourself is written on their heart. See, that's the new covenant. Is that is written on their heart. And as I said earlier, when we see natural disasters in other parts of the world, it's very rarely that we see this type of response, this type of selflessness and of giving. And I would dare yet to say that you've only seen the beginning of it. That as this storm moves on and destroys and floods and wipes things out and then moves on, that our people will move in behind it. Samaritan's Purse and Mercy Chefs and things like this, groups that do help, that move in. Not everybody sits on their duff waiting on the government or FEMA to come help out. No, these other groups will move in and help restore and help feed people. Even the Pentagon and the National Guard are moving in there. And so praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let's see if we can get over to, one more verse in Isaiah. And then I did want to, Isaiah is part of today's Bible reading plan. And when I read it, it jumped off the page at me as just amazing regarding where we're at. Isaiah 28 starts off verse 1, says, "Woe to the proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim, and to the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is the head of the fertile valley of those who are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord has a strong and mighty agent, a storm of hail, a tempest of destruction, like a storm of mighty overflowing waters. He has cast it down to the earth with his hand." Boy, when I saw that picture from the space station showing the size of this storm, it is just, I've never seen a storm this big before. I just never have. I mean, it looks like it would cover the entire eastern seaboard if it moved in the right direction. We see that here in Isaiah 28. And it's directed at the proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim. Let us not fall into that ourselves. Well, I do encourage you to pray for this country, pray for the leaders, pray for those that are caught up in this storm. You know, we have storms, we have hurricanes hit the Gulf Coast and the Florida coast, and here it is kind of the Midwest. It wasn't that long ago Hurricane Sandy hit further north than this and nailed into New Jersey. We have storms. We've had them come across Mexico and come up into Texas. We have the storms that hit the West Coast. We have the winter storms. We're getting in the fall, 91st day coming up Monday. The change of the seasons. And so we see that time changing. And we have storms. We know this winter will have storms. They're calling for a colder and wetter, blustier winter in the Midwest and west toward the Rockies, which includes us. We need the moisture. Hopefully we're ready for it. Been cutting more firewood. But we have not only the physical storms that come, the lake effect wind and storms that just rampage those Midwestern states around the Great Lakes. Seems like we're all familiar. From that down to the tornadoes down in the southern and the Midwestern states. We get those storms, those physical storms. Sometimes we get those storms of life. Saw a nice little article today. Thought I'd share a couple points on it today. That we just have to remember that when we have these storms that come, whether they're physical or whether they're the storms in life that our pastor talked about. Many times people say, well, where's God in the middle of this? Well, he is in the middle of it, if we will turn to him. And it's the same way in the storms of our life, that if we will turn to him, he'll be in the middle of them. See, God is that strong anchor. He is, the Bible talks about it, the anchor of our soul. And when we have those storms, we certainly, the order that we need to do things is we need to pray, and then many times we have to do. We're seeing that in the physical storms. I hope the people have prayed, because they're certainly doing. They're battening down the hatches and putting the plywood up and evacuating. They're doing things, but hopefully the prayer has come first, and that needs to happen. But you know, it's Hebrews 6:19 says we have this hope. This hope, and you know, when times are good, what hope do you need? When the bills are paid and the kids are healthy, and things seem to be going pretty good, what you know, sometimes it's hard to think of the hope, because hey, I'm being blessed, life is good. Don't we have that attitude so many times? But when we have storms coming like this, see, my hope and prayer is this storm, it's going to come and it's going to hit and it's going to be devastating. But we've asked God to protect his people. And then once it moves on, it, you know, the sun will come out. And it'll be a new day, and people will come out and will show Christianity in their actions by coming out and helping their neighbor and loving their neighbor. And see, so that good will come from this storm. There will be good that comes from it. And Hebrews 6:19 tells us we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And you know, our God is a God of promises. He is a God of his word. His word tells us that, yes, it may be horrible right now, but better things are coming. We read that in Isaiah. Isaiah 31, all through this part of Isaiah that we've been reading in the Bible reading plan has been, you know, of all the destruction and the because of Israel's sin, the punishment that God is bringing on them. But then you get on a little bit further into Isaiah 51 and we read about this Savior that's going to be coming. And so I hope back then that they had the hope and that it was the anchor for them. But we definitely have it now, and we need to have it. His word is true. God is gracious. We see that one of the subheadings in Isaiah 30, God is gracious. God is just. Says here that on that day the Lord will bind up the fracture of his people and heal the bruise that he has inflicted. And the message is still repent and return. It always has been. And even in the midst of this physical storm, well, as we get through it, I would dare say that there will be some that are brought to repentance. And I hope that they are. But that this hope that we have is an anchor for the soul. I got to travel back to Florida, to South Florida, and on a trip late last year. And actually, it was earlier this year. And got a picture, got to stay by the one of the maritime academies down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, I think is where it was, or Miami, someplace down there. And right there on a huge four-lane highway, just off the coast, is this huge, several-story anchor. It had to be 25 feet tall. It was a huge ship anchor painted white. Got an awesome picture of it. About, and it says here, Christ, the anchor of our soul. See if I can bring it up. And if you'd like that picture, I'd be glad to print you some out and send it to you. It was such an inspiration to me. I took pictures of it and sent it out to a few people then. I just about had it. I was going to have it here on my phone. Here it is. And it, right out there in the open. And I want to read you what they've got on it. Okay? It says, Jesus, our anchor. If you'd like a picture of that, I'd be glad to send it to you. I'll print it out and send it to you. Because it is a good reminder of this verse from Hebrews. That we have this hope in Christ Jesus, in God the Father, in the Holy Spirit. We have this hope, and it is an anchor for our soul. It has to be. It has to be. One of the pieces in this little article I did want to share and read tonight is, I like how they put it, is to overcome despair with prayer. And it says, when life overwhelms, pray to the one who is in charge and know that he is for you. Will God do what you ask? Perhaps. Or perhaps he'll even do more than you imagine. Stand firmly on the promise that when a believing person prays, great things happen. That's from James 5:16. Romans 8:34 says, he, meaning Christ Jesus, always lives to intercede for us. How about that? And so when we have those storms of life, oh, and we do. We do. We have those storms of life. We don't need to turn to a bottle. We don't need to turn to drugs. Don't do anything foolish. No, when we pray, when we, even in the storms, when we remember those that we prayed for the day before we got into that storm, and we pray for them again, and we trust that the anchor we have will hold. And that's what we really need to do. Well, folks, the phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. Was going to be talking about a little bit about Ezekiel. Wanted to say one thing there. At the end of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 36, verse 37, he says, thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. Now, how about that? God is going to let us ask him to do something for us. He says, I will increase their men like a flock. Then they will know that I am the Lord. That is what he lets us do. Well, Heavenly Father, give us men. Give us Christian men. Lord, Christian women as well. But we ask for Christian men, Father, to lead this country, to lead our churches, to lead our communities. Father, to be leaders in the Christian homes. Give us men, O Lord. Give us men. Got a song. We'll be right back. 307-745-5913.
We have lost as we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked. One by one, the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. As we call out to drive us home alive. God of unrelenting love, rescue every daughter, bring us back the wayward sons, and by your spirit breathe upon them, show the world that you alone can save, you alone can save. As we call out to tribals, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Breath of God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God.
Call out to the dry bones to come alive, for your Holy Spirit to move in the land, for our people to look to you for health, safety, and welfare, and not to man. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, our Bible reading plan, Isaiah 31 and 32 for the Old Testament, talks about that very thing. Isaiah 31, God telling through his prophet, telling the people that help is not found in Egypt, but in God. It says, starts out, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring disaster, and does not retract his words. Boy, there's a whole sermon right there. Wouldn't you like to get that taught in the churches today? That God does not retract his words. That means he is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. And so if he said blackberries are ripe, blackberries are ripe. If he said something is a sin, then it's a sin. If he said keep my law, then he meant keep my law. He does not retract his words. But he will rise against the house of evildoers and against the help of the workers of iniquity. See, God's not only coming against, as it said here, the workers of iniquity, but the help that they provide. And then it goes on and describes the Egyptians. And he goes on starting in verse 4 and just says, you know, you're going to get wiped out both ways. You go to Egypt for help, I'm going to come against you, and I'm going to come against them as well. Verse 6, though, says, return to him, meaning the Lord. Return to him from whom you have deeply defected, O sons of Israel. For in that day every man will cast away his silver idols and his gold idols, which your sinful hands have made for you as a sin. I long for that day when the idols of the land, whether they're on the TV or in the magazine or just even in the people's hearts and minds, when they're done away with. It goes on in verse 8, says, and the Assyrian will fall by a sword, not of man. by a sword not of man, and a sword not of man will devour him. What could that be? A sword not of man? A sword that is going to devour? That reference is over to Isaiah 66:16. If you have your Bibles, we've got almost 10 more minutes. We've got time to go through this little Bible study. If you look over to Isaiah 66:16, it says, "For the Lord..." Let's start with verse 15. How about let's start with 14? That's even better. Oh man, you could go back to 13. It even looks better. "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you." Isn't that a hope? Isn't that a great thing? Can you remember, Remnant, when you were younger and you were comforted by your mother? That's how God desires to comfort us. "And you will be comforted," in J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M. "Then you will see this, and your heart will be glad, and your bones will flourish like the new grass, and the hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but he will be indignant toward his enemies." See, now there's the change. He will be made known to his servants, and your bones will flourish like the new grass. See, there's health and peace and prosperity there. "But he will be indignant toward his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come in fire, and his chariots like the whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For the Lord will execute judgment by fire and by his sword on all flesh." And by his sword. See, that is that same word, that same phrase, that sword not of man, that the Assyrian will fall by in today's Bible reading plan, Isaiah 31:8. That sword not of man. We read a little bit in Ezekiel. If you go back to Ezekiel 38, next page over, in verse 21, says, "I will call for a sword against him on all my mountains, declares the Lord God." Same type of sword. It's not the sword of man. It's not our 38 special. This is not our AR-15s, folks. Okay? This is not our mini 30s or our HKs or whatever it is that you might have. This is not the sword that the Lord is talking about here. No, this is a sword not of man that is there and is being reserved. One more verse on that. Can you flip to the end of your Bibles, Revelation 2? Let's take a look at that. Revelation 2. This is in the Message to Pergamum. And it starts out, it's verse 12, it says, "To the angel of the church in Pergamum write, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this." The one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this, and we know that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Goes on down to verse 16, it says, "Therefore repent." You have to read the rest of it to find out what you have to repent of, to see if that applies. I would say it probably does. It probably does. "Therefore repent, or else I am coming. Therefore repent, or else I am coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth." See, there's that sword, but not of man. And it is the Word of God. It is the sword. It is the very word that he comes with in Revelation. It is the sword, not of man, that we read about in Isaiah 31. If and when we return to him, well, It's like we read that there is joy. We read that in Ezekiel 38, didn't we? That there is joy. Or I guess that was in Isaiah 66. Let's flip back there. Isaiah 66, yes, joy in our future. Verse 12 says, "For thus says the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream." And that's to those that practice and love that righteousness that we talked about earlier. And to those that hate, yes, God extends his joy to those that hate lawlessness. Jesus Christ himself said that, didn't he? "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you," he's going to say. Folks, I hope you see with my talk tonight the importance of reading the Word. We see Jesus Christ throughout this, throughout these Old Testament scriptures, certainly in the New Testament. And it truly is repent and return. If we will pray for one another, well, I think the Holy Spirit will be pleased by that, and it will lead us to things that we may need to repent of. But if we show that love for our neighbor, remember what else the Bible says about love? What does it cover? Love covers a multitude of sin. And so when we love our neighbor, see, that is being doers of the Word. And it helps cover that sin that might be there. Well, guys, I'm about out of juice here tonight. I thank you for tuning in. I do want to read one more quote here. I've got just a minute for this. And this is our brother Jonathan put this in the Dragon Slayer newsletter in the article, "The Enemy Within." And I just want to read it. It's a quote from R.A. Torrey, a friend of Dwight L. Moody, who was a great preacher and evangelist in his own right. And this is from February 1917 at the Moody Bible Institute. "Let a few of God's people," they don't need to be many, "get thoroughly right with God themselves. The rest will count for nothing unless you start right there. And let them band themselves together to pray for a revival until God opens the heavens and comes down. Then let them put themselves at God's disposal to use them as he sees fit. That will bring a revival to any church, any community. Praise God." Remnant, let's get right with God. If we're not, let's get right. If we are, then let's pray. Pray for this revival. Pray for those dry bones to come alive. Thanks for joining us. Hey, come back Saturday morning. We'll be here with the phone lines open again and the rest of the Wranglers Saturday morning for coffee. 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern. And we'll see how Florence did. God bless.
Down the road where all the prodigals have walked, one by one the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. Into the valley. mercy, God of unrelenting love. Rescue every daughter, bring us back the wayward sons. And by your spirit, breathe upon them, show the world that you alone can save. You alone can save. As we call out to tribals, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to tribals, come alive. So breathe, O breath of God, now breathe, O breath of God. Breathe, O breath of God, now breathe.